The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. At the end of November, the European Union's Drug Monitoring Agency, the European Monitoring Center on Drugs and Drug Addiction, released the 2019 EU Drug Markets Report. This report, which was co-produced by the EMCDDA and Europol, quoting from the news release, quote, covers trends along the supply chain from production and trafficking to distribution and sales. It describes how the drug market has wide-ranging impacts on both health and security and how a holistic approach is crucial for effective drug control policies, end quote. Later in the show, we're going to hear a portion of the news conference on the report's release. But first, one of the items in this report that's of great concern is the increasing number of new psychoactive substances on the drug market. I mean, yes, it's an EU drug report, but the drug market is global. We don't talk about NPS very much in the United States, and that's a kind of a problem. I mean, sure, people in the US have heard of fentanyl. That's a synthetic opioid. But there are dozens of synthetic opioids on the market, and the number continues to grow. People in the US have heard of spice and K2, which are synthetic cannabinoids. But there are dozens of these things these days. And, you know, I'm kind of understating things when I say dozens. By the end of 2018, the European Union was monitoring 731 new psychoactive substances. The number of NPS is currently growing at the rate of about one a week. And that's a big improvement from 2014, when there were 101 new psychoactive substances detected. And that's almost two a week. According to the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, 36% of these new psychoactive substances are synthetic stimulants. 30% are synthetic cannabinoid receptor agonists, which are commonly referred to as synthetic cannabinoids. 15% are classic hallucinogens. 7% are synthetic opioids. 3% are sedatives or hypnotics. Another 3% are dissociatives. And the remaining 5% have yet to be assigned a category. Who knows what they are? So before we get to that EU drug report, we're going to hear first from the chief of UNODC's Drug Prevention and Health Branch, Gilberto Guerra, MD. Dr. Guerra gave a presentation to the Commission on Narcotic Drugs on October 16th during his intersessional meeting. Here's Gilberto Guerra.
I start with a question to you. Are you concerned about stimulants in general? I say that we have to be absolutely concerned about the presence of the central nervous system, such as heroin and opioids and synthetic opioids. But we cannot joke also with the stimulants. We cannot under-evaluate the problem created by stimulants. And also the numbers of stimulants. In the World Drug Report this year, we have presented 68.2 million of people using amphetamine, cocaine, and ecstasy, and only 53 million people using heroin and prescription opioids. It means that the mass of people exposed to the part of the humanity exposed to stimulants is larger than that exposed to the presence of the central nervous system. And this is not including the new psychoactive substances, because most of the families of the new psychoactive substances, such as the derivative of catinol, methylcatinol, mefedrone, or the substituted phenethylamines of benzylpiperazine or synthetic cannabinoids, have a stronger action as stimulants or a component as stimulants. But the service for people affected by stimulant use disorder and NPS are not available or almost not existent, unprepared, empty because you don't offer anything appealing for the patient, and the laboratory are unable to detect the substances. You offer only some counseling and some psychosocial intervention when you are very lucky. And in spite of this, if you consider in Sweden, for example, 189 cases of drug intoxication in the emergency department, emergency room, or intensive care unit, you find around 50 substances out of these 189 cases, is an enormous amount, 50 substances belonging to the families of the new psychoactive substances and related stimulants. Also, these drugs, particularly the NPS, are utilized as adulterants. You buy MDMA, ecstasy, you buy amphetamine, you buy cocaine, you buy methamphetamine, but in reality they are selling to you new psychoactive substances, such as this derivative of phenethylamine. In this case, they've evaluated 173 samples, at the level of laboratory, they found that in 20 cases there was a complete, an association of the classic drugs with MPS. In 49 cases, the classic drugs were not there, only MPS were replacing them. And there are also some good news from the world of the new psychoactive substances. We have an interview, qualitative interview to the patient, to the people using these drugs, saying that they like more the old stuff. They are seeking their own leaves derivatives, such as cocaine, heroin, and cannabis, respect to the synthetic drugs that should produce more depression, more concentration difficulties, feeling of fear and anxiety, and problem to the legs. These drugs are in reality deeply affecting the brain, simply because they are mimicking the effect of a stimulant neurotransmitter in the brain, such as dopamine. You see, mefedrone, methylcatinone, is very similar to the cat coming from the plant Cata edulis. It is very similar to dopamine, the neurotransmitter, the stimulant neurotransmitter of the brain. You find the group of phenethylamine family that are de facto mimicking noradrenaline, norepinephrine, and other stimulants of our brain. You find this anti-worm medication that were used before to treat a worm infection in the intestine, that we find they were paralyzing the worms, and they have been used then by the illicit trafficking to produce this medication that were utilized as hallucinogenic and mainly mimicking a serotonin effect in the brain. But look, the very strange situation to tell you how much the border between legal drugs and illegal drugs is subtle. Well, the first two in blue, you see, clozapine and olanzapine of this family, the piperazines, are not sold in the illegal market, but are sold in the pharmacy as one of the most modern and effective antipsychotic medication. The other drugs are not useful for these medical purposes, and they are sold as ecstasy. They are considered stimulant and hallucinogenic effect in the illicit market. Then the family of the synthetic cannabinoids that are mimicking tetrahydrocannabinol in the plant, in marijuana, but also mimicking the neurotransmitter in the brain that is the natural neurological cannabinoid, anandamide. Also in this case with a strong component not only on inducing psychosis but cardiovascular disorders. And when you see this so-called herbal medicine, in reality is not herbal medicine, is a way to present the synthetic cannabinoids that could have problems such as myocardial infarction, ischemic stroke and embolic, acute kidney, and so on. When you see unexplained agitation in young people in the emergency room together with cardiovascular symptoms, you should think immediately to the synthetic cannabinoids. Then you have more hallucinogenic new psychoactive substances, meaning serotonin such as LSD, very similar in the formula to the psilocybin that was coming from the magic mushroom, you remember, in the past. I wanted to show you some different setting and pattern of use. For example, this new psychoactive substances utilized in rave party and in, you can say, no drugs, no party, no new psychoactive substances, no party. For disco clubbers, rave party, after hour party. And among this population, 75% of the participants were positive to the toxicological analysis, but 36% of these 75 were positive for NPS, for non-new psychoactive substances. And this was so-called recreational use, but there is also non-recreational use, a sort of self-medication done with these substances by children or adolescents or young adults with a higher level of psychological distress. Also in Japan, there was an increase of the numbers of people using the MPS, but what they called by this author are calling this use a sort of dysfunctional use that is not for sure a recreational one. There is a group of people using these drugs for medicate their lack of capacity to establish friendly relationship. For example, they want to have increased ability to socialize through these substances. There are sensation seekers who are asking these substances to have strong emotions. And we cannot forget that 22% of the admission in a psychiatric hospital are positive for new psychoactive substances and stimulants and methamphetamine in the admission to the psychiatric hospital, as I said. And this clearly are going to exacerbate, to aggravate the already existing pre-existing psychosis. We have a group of people, a population that are considering themselves psychonaut. They don't navigate only the web, but want to navigate the mind and the soul. They want to understand better what they have inside. Philosopher, alchemist, psychedelic researcher. And these are using the most hallucinogenic NPS. A sort of neo-shamanism, when you have you can mix the effect of rhythmic music together with the substances obtained in modified status of conscience. And also a sort of dissociative status to look to yourself from outside and understand having enhancing your self-knowledge. All these groups, you understand, are totally different from the cultural point of view, and they need a differentiated approach to be reached, and for a normal outreach that was done before is totally not valid for this kind of new things. For example, new psychoactive substances and methamphetamine are accompanying also the mystical beliefs, are accompanying the religious experiences sometimes, and this perception of being of oneness with God and the universe and values of spirituality. Remember the famous movie Matrix, where you have through the use of a tablet, the capacity to understand the reality as it is in reality, because the reality you see, in opinion of this group, is not the true one. And also, you can have a professor in the University of Chemistry and Physics wants to have effect, or students want to have effect of brain enhancing, increasing the capacity of their brain and cognitive capacity, that are using these drugs without considering the consequences. About methamphetamine, you have you don't need to travel to East Asia to see methamphetamine. This is a very impressive slide, in my opinion, because you have methamphetamine 34%, means more than one-third, among those who are seeking treatment for opioid dependence in the United States. So the people are going there saying, I am heroin dependent, I am fentanyl dependent, etc., please help me. More than one-third of them have in their urines also methamphetamine. It means that it is a sort of mixed use to try to balance the effect of opium and having a so-called normal life. The people risking overdose among those who have opioid dependence in North America, the people at risk for overdose, are twofold, 2.8-fold times increase in overdose, in reported overdose, if they at the same time use also methamphetamine. It means that these are the most severely affected patients with more risky condition. And we have an increase in Australia that has been mentioned also before in the use of methamphetamine. The people dependent on methamphetamine almost doubled in the last decade. And we have also the driver involved in fatal accident that have 89% alcohol drugs in the blood, and they have also a large part of methamphetamine in their blood. We cannot forget that methamphetamine are inducing terrible psychosis or aggravating psychosis. We cannot forget that methamphetamine have been now in the last decade not only taken as orally but injected, provoking also terrible endocarditis, viral endocarditis. And also, very curious, in Europe there was a shortage some years ago of heroin. People started to inject mefedrone and methylcatinone, provoking a resurgence of HIV in countries where the HIV was before defeated. And also, the risk for HIV or hepatitis is also among people who are not injecting but using methamphetamine outside, orally or smoked, because they are, because of their mental condition, they are not doing protected sex. They are doing unprotected sex. Arrhythmias induced by methamphetamine and cardiovascular disorder that can be fatal. And I want to conclude with these two slides. As a practitioner also, when I think to the people affected by heroin or fentanyl or synthetic opioid, oxycodone, I think that the depressant of the central nervous system are making my target patient, in a certain sense, homogeneous. These people are injecting or using these drugs, sleeping, waking up in a condition of negative affect and regret and withdrawal, searching for new heroin to inject, and sleeping again. Clearly, also these patients have their personality traits, their characteristics, their cultural background. We cannot say they are equal to each other. The same to each other, but they are homogeneous. If you look to what happens when you have to treat and to approach people affected by psychostimulants and NPS, you find this variegated situation, from drivers to polydrug abuse, from shamanism, from starting from brain enhancing, party drugs, mental health problems, chemsex, doping and bodybuilding and so on. I continue with the religious experience and so on. Imagine to go out with a normal outreach unit, as we think normally in Europe, for example, could be completely ineffective. We should have a differentiated and personalized and specific approach, taking into account and tailoring the intervention on the basis of the cultural needs of this population. Thank you for your attention.
That was Gilberto Guerra, MD, chief of the UNODC Drug Prevention and Health Branch. He was speaking before the Commission on Narcotic Drugs during its sixth intersessional meeting on October 16th. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. Now, let's turn to that 2019 EU Drug Markets Report. There was a news conference November 26th to discuss the release, so here's EMCDDA Director Alexis Gustel discussing the report's findings.
First, I would like to thank all the staff of EMCDDA and the staff of Europol that have been working those 3 years collecting the information, making all the analysis. Of course, I have a special thanks to my good and close colleague, Catherine De Bol, the Executive Director of Europol, for support and for very close and very fruitful cooperation. The report covers trends along the supply chain from production, trafficking to distribution and sales, even if today we are going to speak more about market than about the problems associated to the use of those substances. As the Commissioner said, and is putting us under challenge because we launched together the previous report, so what has changed, what is new? The main answer is that the European drug market is changing faster than before, both under the influence of internal and external drivers. And you have in the report a very detailed and holistic analysis of those changes. What we observe today is the hyper-production of drugs within and beyond EU borders, which is leading to high availability of natural and synthetic substances. This means that now consumers have access to a diverse range of highly potent and pure products at a very affordable price. As the Commissioner mentioned, a mounting concern is the rise in drug-related violence and corruption within the EU, and this is a very worrying evolution of the situation over the last 5 years. First of all, the drug market remains a major source of income for organized crime groups in the EU, and we estimate that the Europeans are spending around 30 billion of euros every year for the retail level. It doesn't encompass the value or potential values of seizures or any interference with the drug business. Here we talk only about the money that is spent by people who are using drugs in Europe. Around two-fifths of this total, 39%, is spent on cannabis, 31% on cocaine that has taken now the second place, not only as the second most consumed drug, but also in terms of market value. And heroin is the third with 25%. Finally, amphetamines, methamphetamines, and MDMA, ecstasy, represent 5% of that market. Let's have a quick look at key drug markets, let's put under the microscope. Cannabis is the largest drug market in Europe, worth at least 11.6 billion of euro, with some 25 million of Europeans who have used cannabis at least once last year. While cannabis, herb and resin still dominate, we see new products that are appearing on the drug market, and this makes monitoring of the potency and potential health effects essential. We also observe increased violence that is associated to the cannabis business between organized crime groups, and this is putting an added strain on law enforcement activities. Let's have a look at heroin and other opioids. Opioids still account for the largest proportion of harms associated with drug use, and the heroin market is estimated at least at 7.4 billion of euros per year. There are approximately 1.3 million of people who are considered as problem opioid users, mainly of heroin. Talking about market and trafficking, the Balkan route remains the key corridor for heroin into the EU, but there are signs of increased heroin trafficking along the southern route, particularly through the Suez Canal. There is also evidence of the diversion of the chemical precursors that are needed to produce those drugs. And those precursors, they are being produced in Europe, and they are being smuggled from the EU to heroin producing areas. We also notice, although not in the same proportion and in the United States, that there are highly potent synthetic opioids like the fentanyl derivatives that are responsible in the US for the big wave of drug-related death, while they represent also in Europe a growing health risk, but still not in the same proportion. These are increasingly traded online and dispatched by post. Let's come now to a drug that has called a lot of attention in the recent years, which is cocaine. There is a record production and corresponding expanding markets for cocaine, with a market retail value that is estimated at minimum 9.1 billion of euro. This is the second most commonly consumed illicit drugs in the EU. We have around 4 million of Europeans that report having used the drug in the past year. But we need to add to those people, those who have more recently joined and are consuming not only cocaine in its more common version, but also crack cocaine, and there are worrying signs of an increase in the use of crack cocaine also in Europe. Use is still concentrated in South and West Europe, but the market appears to be spreading, including outside Europe, like, for instance, in the Western Balkans. Record production in Latin America has intensified trafficking to the EU, mainly to maritime containers, where record seizures have been recorded. And the presence of European organized crime groups in Latin America is also changing the dynamic and allowing them to manage the supply chain end to end. It is also disrupting the market, not only in Europe, but in Latin America, and there are a lot of changes intervening in the organization of those trafficking routes between the sources and the EU. And also increasingly, it seems that the EU is emerging as a transit area for cocaine that is destined to other markets like Middle East and Asia. For amphetamine, methamphetamine, and MDMA, the estimated value is 1.5 billion euro a year. They are produced for domestic production and export. They make up around 5% of the total EU market. More recently, we have noticed that not only the market is very well controlled, we have also other organized crime groups that are intervening in the market, for instance, Mexican cartels, who are controlling the entire logistic chain. Finally, the new psychoactive substances, we discovered 55 new substances, one per week on the European market last year. Source countries are China and India. The total of substances that have been detected and that are monitored by the EMCDDA together with Europol and with the support of other EU agencies amount to 731 substances. The NPS continue to represent a very important threat to health, with potent synthetic cannabinoids, synthetic opioids, and fake benzodiazepines appearing on the market. Those are at the origin of more health emergencies, acute intoxications, and deaths. Dear Commissioner, dear colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, the contemporary drug market is increasingly complex, adaptive, and dynamic. It is also more global in nature and more interlinked than in the past. In addition, as the Commissioner highlighted, of the direct impact on health and security, the drug market has also indirect and wide-ranging negative consequences on other important policy areas. It includes violence and community safety, economic development and governance, and the environment. Finally, the human and societal cost associated with the drugs market remain considerable. The reduction of the harm associated with the drug market should remain a priority. So you will ask me, what can we do on the top of what was done? And the Commissioner explained, we made some good progress in the recent 5 years. Still, we have a lot of work in front of us. The work in that area must remain an absolute priority. And this report is a clear wake-up call for policymakers to address the rapidly growing drug market. Our message is that important progress has been made, but more needs to be done. At the time when a new European Commission will take its duties in the coming days, when the EU and the Member States are discussing the political priorities and actions for the next European budget 2021-2027, we jointly call, together with Europol, for an upgrade of priorities and resources proportional to the importance of the emerging threats. Thank you very much.
That was Alexis Goustel, director of the European Monitoring Center on Drugs and Drug Addiction. He was discussing the 2019 EU Drug Markets Report, which was released on November 26th. Now, while we still have a few minutes left, let's hear from Nuria Calzada, coordinator of the Spanish harm reduction organization Energy Control.
Drug-taking services are market monitoring tools that are complementary to other sources of information. Their added value lies in the fact that they allow contact with hard-to-reach populations. They not only provide information about the composition, but also on other aspects, such as acquisition routes, prices, forms of use, experienced problems, and so on. They also allow the early detection of emerging phenomena, thus reducing the period of time of reaction. In the case of NPS, drug checking has made important contributions to European early warning systems. They enjoy credibility among drug users and therefore allow early warning to be more effective than official institutions. And finally, they have contributed to the improvement of our knowledge through publications and scientific papers. These added value elements have allowed information from drug checking services to be considered by public institutions such as European Monitoring Center of United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime. However, we know that drug checking can be controversial, like other harm reduction interventions such as supervised consumption rooms, naloxone distributions, or sharing exchange programs. This may be difficult for those countries that, despite seeing the relevance of drug checking, may not want to face a heated debate around them. In any case, our accumulated experience during the last 2 decades allow us to recommend to other countries the incorporation of drug checking to their monitoring tools with appropriate financing, their integration in the national health systems, and the encouragement of scientific research to evaluate their impact. To conclude, we would like to make a global call for a self-critical reflection. We are agreed that never before in our history have we had so much quantity, quality, and diversity of drugs and so easy access to them. It's clear that we are doing something wrong, and yet we continue to insist on the same approaches. So it's time for political courage to take action and apply innovative strategies without fear of being judged as crazy, because as someone once said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting for different results.
That was Nuria Calzada. She was addressing the Conference on Narcotic Drugs on October 16th during its 6th intersessional meeting. And that's all the time we have this week. I want to thank you for joining us. You have been listening to Century of Lies, a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network. This is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long! For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.